You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, we attend to God's words, what the Bible says. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they, my words, are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:20-22. And so we ought to give attention to God's word. Amen. You know, some people got to catch that news. They got to catch that weather. Well, we got to catch that word, too. We're going to make it a point to go, man, I got to find out what God has to say today. I need to catch the word. You know, we're intent and passionate and quick to turn on the news, you know, or whatever the case may be, or maybe it's a show you're recording, I don't know. But we need to catch the word. Catch the word. Well, several Wednesday nights ago, of course, we've missed a few with the holidays and all, white gift service and Christmas and a lot of other things going on. We started a series on healing, just going through scriptures on healing from the Old Testament and on into the New. We hadn't even got into the New yet. I want to continue that on. It's amazing. I know the devil. I understand the devil. I know my enemy and your enemy. And you need to be aware of your enemy. Beware your enemy, the Bible says. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith. I know anytime you teach on anything, he's going to attack. You know, you just know that. That's just, you better get ready. If you're going to make a stand, here comes enemy. Don't be concerned or worried about it. Be aware and come against that when it does come. And, you know, and I experienced that attack myself when I started teaching on healing. But, you know, it just makes me want to teach it even stronger. Makes me want to teach it even more, hallelujah, and give him a black eye and just keep going. He hates it. He doesn't like it. You know, he'll leave you alone if you don't mess with him. Are you out there? But not messing with him means not standing up for Jesus. Not talking about the Lord, not living right, not living holy. But if you're going to live holy, you're going to live right, and you're going to talk about the Lord, the devil's going to come. But now, hey, when he comes, the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. James 4:7. And that, I was quoted there in 1 Peter 5, where he says, where you ever say to the devil, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. If you just believe God, I mean, he's got to go. He can't stay. He cannot stay. Hallelujah. So anyway, we started a series on healing. And I've been teaching along those lines for several weeks now. And today, I would like to teach on about healing, teach on healing and forgiveness. In other words, just put it all in the same boat, same perspective, because that's where it should be. It should be in the same boat with forgiveness. Are you out there? You know, how many of you know that God forgives? You're sure? Pretty sure about that? Okay. Have you believed you're forgiven? Okay. Are you pretty sure about that? Okay. How many of you ever sinned since you got forgiven? Oh. You mean just because you're forgiven didn't mean you didn't never sin again? It just means that you have forgiveness if you go get it, right? It's there if you go get it. I'm coming to a point here. It's actually a method to my madness, so stay with me. I'm amazed when people talk about healing negatively, that they'll say things like, well, you can never really know if you're, you know, healed or not. Who knows what the Lord will do? And fine, Christians love God, they're going to heaven, and people we love. But sometimes there are churches that don't believe in healing, don't believe that God still heals today, or believe that he has some purpose in sickness and disease, and all that is outside the Bible. That's logic and reasoning outside the word. You'll find in the Bible that Jesus was healing people. Jesus didn't make people sick. He relieved them of their sickness. He didn't oppress them with disease. In fact, the Bible really plainly says in Acts 10:38, Peter's preaching, he says, we see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So we see there the oppression came from the devil and the healing came from God. So let's don't get confused about who God is and who the devil is. Are you with me? There is an enemy, but it's not God. There is an oppressor, but it's not God. God is frees us, relieves us, heals us, forgives us. The devil, on the other hand, oppresses, binds, and slaves, and so on and so forth. And that's what you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over and over. Luke 13 chapter gives us the account of the woman that was bent over. She was bent over for years, and she couldn't, you know, 18 years, I believe is what it says. And Jesus says, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And she straightened up and glorified God, and the religious people got upset. The ruler of the synagogue got upset, got all over Jesus because he healed her. And he said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this infirmity whom Satan hath bound? Luke 13, you can go read that if you're writing notes. It says, whom Satan hath bound. It didn't say who God made sick for his glory. Are you out there? It didn't say who God made sick so he could show himself mighty. That'd be like saying God made you sin so he could forgive you. And God's got you in sin for a purpose and for a reason. No, he doesn't. You're in sin because you made the wrong choices. Are you with me? You're in sin because of the world and the temptation to pull the world. I'd submit to you that you're in sickness or I'm in sickness because of the world. Sometimes my fault, sometimes not my fault, but it's the world that causes sickness, and the world got in sin and sickness when Adam sinned some 6,000 years ago. That doesn't mean you're responsible every time you get sick. Of course not. Sickness just comes. Are you with me? That's something you don't have to believe for. You ever notice that? You know, the things of God you have to believe for. But you don't have to believe for sickness. It just comes. People don't know God gets sick. Are you with me? But now to get healed, you have to believe for healing. To get saved, you have to believe for salvation. Forgiveness doesn't just come. You have to believe for forgiveness. But you don't have to believe to sin. You can sin without God. You do that okay all by yourself. Hello. So the things of God, you have to approach God and ask God and request of God and turn to God. And then the scripture tells us that he will hear us and he will forgive us. So when you think about forgiveness, I am forgiven and Jesus took my sins on the cross, no doubt about it. That doesn't mean I can't sin. I can, and I have, and I've had to ask forgiveness again. Are you out there? And sickness is no different. The Bible also says he bore my sins along with my sickness. He bore my sickness along with my sin. And I can get healed. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean I'll never get sick again. It doesn't mean I won't have to go back and get healed again and reappropriate that. But he took my sickness. And by stripes, I am healed. Often people say, well, you believe in healing. Why don't you just go down to the hospital and clean out the hospital? Well, you believe in salvation. Why don't you go down to jail and clean out the jails? Are you out there? Some are going to receive and some are not going to receive. Some are going to accept, some are going to reject. I mean, that's a matter of choice. That's a matter of your will and my will. And it's a matter of teaching as far as that's concerned. So even though God forgives everybody, everybody doesn't get forgiven. It's available, but you have to call. He took stripes on his body that you might be healed, but you have to call. Now, if you believe that God doesn't heal, how can you get healed? Are you with me? I'm talking about supernatural healing. I know you can get some help and get surgery and medicine, and we're for that. And we thank God for any way you can get help, but there's also some things that doctors can't help you with. Well, God can. There are sins that you just cannot overcome in the natural, but by the Holy Ghost you can. Amen? Hallelujah. So there's no sin that you can't be forgiven of, and there's no sickness you can't be healed of. Glory. Okay, we went over this verse, Psalms 103. Turn there if you will, and I'll hit it real quick and want to move on to some other ones. Psalms 103, you know it well. First verse says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, second verse, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Hallelujah, somebody. Third verse, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, anybody that's a Christian, anybody believes God, everybody knows Jesus, the Lord and Savior, knows that God forgives our iniquities. He forgives our sins. Hallelujah, my sins are forgiven. You see bumper stickers all the time. I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. Are you with me? And then we are forgiven. Are you with me? I'm not advocating the bumper sticker one with the other. I think we are perfected in Christ. I'm not perfect in the natural, and I understand that's what it's saying. But I am forgiven. Hallelujah. I don't think there's a man or woman to come to church with any sin that if they repent and come to that church and ask that preacher, that pastor, or anyone in that church that loves God, I don't think there's a church anywhere that would tell them, well, you just can't be forgiven. I think they'd say, if you really truly repent, God will forgive you. I don't think any church would ever tell them, you know, you never know. God may, he may not. We'll see. Let's just pray this prayer and give it a shot. Let's shoot one up there and pull the lever down and hope it comes up tripping nickels. No, we're not gambling when we pray. We're coming to God on the basis of what he said. Amen? If he says he'll forgive us, he'll forgive us. Well, now, notice that same verse says, who forgives, not one, not two, not a couple of them, not most of them, but who forgives all your iniquities. It says, who heals all your diseases. Does that mean it's going to be immediately manifested? Well, I don't think so. I think you struggle with sin sometimes, and even, you know, the symptoms of unforgiveness hang around, but you keep plowing through, and you're forgiven according to God's word, and then, you know, finally you just get free of it. And sometimes you have to battle even in sickness and disease. I am healed in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Have hands laid on you. Get people to pray for you. And, you know, sometimes those symptoms hang around, just like unforgiveness hangs around and the feeling of condemnation. But you finally plow through it because the word says it, and you believe it, hallelujah, and you get free, hallelujah. Are you out there? So the scripture is plain that forgiveness and healing are all in the same boat, that God does one just as much as he does the other. That if God does forgive, he also heals, because the scripture that says he forgives says he heals. Not only does it say that in the Bible, but it says it in the same verse. Are you out there? Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is a classic verse here. You'll recognize as soon as we get to it. And it's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and his suffering for us. Hallelujah. Now notice what it says. I'll try not to roll this around in my mouth too much and obnoxiously. Isaiah 53:4, let's just start there. Surely he has borne our griefs. Aren't you glad? Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Our griefs, he bore them. You know, I was teaching Sunday on Jesus being a man. Thank God he became a man. God himself became a man. He was the Word eternally, the God forever before he became Jesus. But when he became a man, he came down here to die for our sins. And he can fully relate to us, there's no question, because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's been through what you've been through. He's felt what you felt. He's been experienced what you experienced, but without sin. And it says here, surely he has borne our griefs. He carried our griefs and our sorrows, it says. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted on the cross when he died for our sins. But in doing that, in being smitten by God, because it was God's will that he come and die, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Y'all see that? That's why Jesus hung on the cross. He didn't hang on the cross for anybody but you and me, all of us. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. He didn't bear his sin. He bore our sin. He didn't bear his sorrow. He bore our sorrow. But, fifth verse, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and sins. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace was upon him. He took our penalty. He took our what we deserve. People say, you know, I don't deserve all that. Well, actually, you deserve hell, but Jesus took what you deserved. He took your penalty. He took your sentence that was on you because you're in this world, and everybody in this world is headed to hell. I mean, we've been heading that way since Adam sinned. And many times no fault of our own, but it's because we're born into this earth. But God made a way to turn that around through Christ. If you'll just come to Jesus, in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. Hallelujah. And it says here, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Woo. Are you out there? So here he's talking about forgiveness, and he's talking about healing, all in the same verse. Just like Psalm 103, verse 3, I'll remind you, it says, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. So not only are we talking about something that's mentioned in the Bible, you can find healing in the Bible, you can find forgiveness in the Bible. No, you can find it in the same verse. Are you with me? Very same verse. How many of you believe Jesus bore your sins? Well, of course he did. Bore our sins on the cross. Well, did you know also that by his stripes you're healed? Because the scripture that says he bore our sins says by his stripes we are healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you believed that he forgives all of our iniquities, all of our sins? Absolutely. Would you also know he heals all of our diseases? Because the scripture that says He forgives all of our iniquities. Says he heals all of our diseases. It's all in the same boat. Healing and forgiveness all wrapped up, all tied up together in God. I don't know why we make such a big issue out of it, or we'll make a big deal out of it, or try to separate the two. I mean, even the, you know, when we talk about, there's an old King James word used in the scripture called whole, made whole. Remember the woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5th chapter? It says, she came in a press, touched Jesus' garment, and power of virtue came out of him, and she felt in her body that she was healed. Jesus, immediately knowing that power had come out of him, turned around and said, who touched me? The crowd, you know, the disciples said, Lord, the whole crowd touched you. What do you mean, who touched you? But see, this woman touched in faith. That got his attention and pulled power out of him. Says she fell down before him, trembling, told him all that took place. And that's why we have that record, because she repeated that, recited that to him. And he said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole. Be healed of your plague. That old King James word whole, it just means to be, you know, when you're sick, you're not whole. You're not complete. You're not well. Something's wrong. You know, we even use that terminology, not doing good, kind of down today. You know, oh, I'm great. I'm up. I'm on the upswing when you start doing better. I mean, when you're doing good, well, that means you're not sick. When you're sick, your sickness is not good. I mean, we don't even use terms. We don't use good terms about sickness. In fact, we're not okay when we're sick. Not doing too good, we say that. So the word whole, that was an old King James word. Actually, the word holy came from that also. So a man who has no sin is holy. And when you have no sickness, you're whole. Bodily whole. Soulically, spiritually holy without sin. Bodily whole without sickness. So whatever it is sin does to you soulically or spiritually, you get a picture of it when you look at sickness, what it does to your body. Sickness is not good for your body, is it? Well, sin's not good for your spirit. Neither one of them are good. And Jesus came to get rid of both of them. He came and took stripes on his body. Not only took on your sins, not only forgave your iniquities, but he bore stripes that you might be healed. Hallelujah. Y'all see that? And all that's in the same verse prophetically. In fact, that's in fulfillment of that. Turn over in New Testament, if you have your Bibles, 1 Peter 2:24. Come on, y'all ought to know that one. Turn over there. This is nothing new. This is something we all know. We need to hear it, though. 1 Peter 2:24 knows what it says. Now, bear in mind now, we're just reading the Scripture. I believe Scripture. How about you? Yes. I don't know everything, but I know what Scripture says about this. Amen. I don't know everything Scripture says, but I know it says this. I know God may be a whole lot more than I could ever dream or imagine, but he is not a liar. Maybe I don't know everything he said, but I know what he did say is the truth. Are you out there? I might not know everything he said, but I know enough of what he said to know that what he said is true. If he says anything else, he's not going to contradict himself. Are you out there? He's not going to say in one breath, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, and turn right around and say, I'm the Lord that maketh thee sick. He doesn't do that, amen. He's not going to say, you know, lay hands on the sick, never shall recover, and then turn right around and says, try it out, it might work and it might not. He's not going to say, by his stripes you're healed, but really you weren't. Are you with me? I mean, that makes sense. That's contradictory, and God doesn't contradict himself. So whatever God is a particular thing, okay? God is not everything. He's a particular thing. God's not bad and good. He's not holy and unholy. He's not truth and lies. Are you with me? He's not perfect and imperfect. See, I mean, you cannot say one thing about God without saying something else. As soon as you say he's good, you're saying he's not bad. Isn't that right? As soon as you say he's a healer, you're saying he's not the one making you sick. He can't be both. Can't be both. As soon as you say God's holy, you're saying he is not sinful. So the idea that God is everything, that's foreign to the Scripture, and that's foreign to logic and common sense. God is not everything. God is a particular thing. And every statement I make about God immediately makes the opposite statement a negative. Isn't that correct? God loves me. In that one breath I've said, God does not hate me. Isn't that right? God doesn't love me and hate me. God doesn't save me and condemn me. Are you with me? If he saves me, he saves me. God doesn't heal me and make me sick. God doesn't answer my prayer and not answer my prayer. Well, I mean, if he doesn't answer my prayer, it's because I didn't pray it right, obviously. But if I pray his will, he's going to answer the prayer, right? God's not going to say yes and then no on something he definitely said yes on. It's like saying, Lord, save me. And he might say yes and he might say no. He'll always say yes. He'll always say yes if you're asking him to save you, if you're asking him to heal you, if you're asking him to forgive you. Because that's what he says. 1 Peter 2:24, found it? And this really is a fulfillment of what we just read in Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. Notice what it says here. Who his own self, speaking of Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Are you getting this? So what did he bear? Our sins. And what about healing? By stripes you're healed. Whereas Isaiah says you are looking forward to his coming, Peter said you were looking back to the fact that he already came. But it's all in the same verse. Sins, sickness, forgiveness, healing. It's all there. It's all in the same verse. And we often say by his stripes we're healed, 1 Peter 2:24, but the whole verse says who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. All in the same verse. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. Matthew 8. Turn to Matthew 8 chapter. This helping anybody? Something to think about. You know, if we're going to believe the Bible, we've got to believe the Bible. We can't just believe something outside the Bible or just get psychoanalytical and just start making, you know, assumptions. And, well, maybe God has a purpose, or maybe God has a... Well, wait a minute. Where's that in the Bible? Where do we get off? Someone's sick and we start analyzing. We get paralysis of analysis and we start saying, well, you know, maybe God's working something out there. Maybe God's doing something. Where do you get that? Where does that come from? That's not what the Bible says. Are you out there? Sounds pretty smart. Sounds pretty reasonable. I mean, you know, we can really get into the psyche of a lot of things, but I just don't think you and I are really all that smart. I don't think we know where everything's going on in the universe. I think we need to stick with what God says. If he said he heals, he heals. If he said the devil made him sick, the devil made him sick. If he said, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. If that's what he said, that's what we need to do. We don't need to sit there and say, well, you know, maybe God doesn't want to do this, or maybe God does. No, God said, if you're sick, come get prayed for. Quit trying to figure all that out. You get paralysis of analysis is what you do. You just shut down trying to figure it all out. And the scripture is very plain. Amen? Okay, real quickly, Matthew 8, 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. Peter was married. And his mother-in-law was sick of a fever. And it says he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto him. Have a camp meeting right there. You're shut down with sickness. Sickness will shut you down. Healing will free you up to help people and minister to people. God has no purpose in making you sick. In fact, if he made you sick, then he's cutting his own throat, because if you're sick, you can't help anybody. If you're sick, you need help. Are you with me? That's why God wants you to get on your feet to help others. Hello. Now, he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered. She didn't minister until she got healed. She didn't minister until she got well. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Well, why'd they bring all those sick people to Jesus? Because he had a reputation of healing people, right? I mean, they didn't question their healing. They didn't question their sickness and say, well, maybe God wants them that way. No, they brought them to Jesus to get healed. Because that's what Jesus does, is heal people. Amen? And it says, he cast out the spirits with his word. I love that. And he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say amen? Okay, so we just read that scripture over in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Where he by stripes were healed. We looked at Peter referring to it in the past tense. And over here we see an example of somebody getting healed and Matthew saying without a doubt that that fulfilled that scripture. So when he said by his stripes we're healed, he was talking about sickness and disease. Because it says here that he did that in the 16th verse, Matthew 8, 16. It says he healed all that were sick, 17th verse, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and healed our sicknesses. Oh, man, I love that. Don't you love it? Don't you love the scripture? So if somebody were to argue, you say, well, he's just talking about being healed in a spiritual sense. Well, no, he fulfilled it in a physical sense. Right here. And Matthew used this physical healing as a springboard to quote that scripture and say it was fulfilled right then. Wow. Man, that's better preaching. Y'all are amen. And if y'all look at Jesus' ministry, while we're in Matthew, turn over to 4th chapter, a couple verses in Matthew real quick. I don't even have time to do this justice tonight. Got 5 minutes. I'm going to wrap this up. Matthew 4, 23, notice what it says. Matthew 4, verse 23, says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, this would be what we call Jesus' ministry. What did Jesus do? Well, when he was in the synagogues, he would teach. And when he was in the villages, he would preach the gospel, the good news. And if there was any sick, he would heal them. So he did three things. He taught, teaching, preaching, and healing. Part and parcel. As that was the gospel. That was Jesus' ministry. That's what he did. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Well, why don't we cut that other one out of this thing? What are we doing cutting healing out of this thing? What did Jesus send the disciples to do? Teach, preach, and heal. Even empowered them so they'd go lay hands on the sick. Gave them power to heal the sick, raise dead, cast out devils. Oh, glory to God. Healing always has been a part of the gospel. It's always been a part of Christianity. It's always been a part of what Jesus is and what Jesus does. Notice the 9th chapter. You looked at, we're at 4:23, Matthew 4:23. Let's look at Matthew 9:35. This is almost an exact repeat of that verse I just read. Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. See, it's a repeat, same thing. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. There it again, repeats it again. Does three things. Teaches, preaches, heals. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Well, that's just what we do. We're Christians, we're believers. That's what the gospel is all about. It's about teaching, preaching, and healing. You can't take healing out of it. Healing's part of it. It's just what he does. It just comes with it. We have X'd it out. We've tried to relegate it to the past, but you can't really do that because, see, we're not, I just have this issue with just preaching a doctrine. Yes, we have a doctrine, no question. There's teaching. Doctrine just means teaching. But we're preaching a person. His name is Jesus. Are you out there? So whatever we want to say about history, whatever we want to say about dispensations and so on and so forth, ultimately we preach Jesus. And Jesus is a healer. He taught, he preached, and he healed. That's what he did. And in that is forgiveness and healing, restoration of your soul. You can become a brand new you. Hope for the future. Good stuff. Amen. And on and on and on. Hey, turn to James real quick and I'll close this out. I'm skipping lots of verses here just so we can get to this. Excuse me. Hallelujah. I tried to cover that up. Was that pretty loud? Really loud. I'll turn it off next time. James, and I quoted this, but let's end up with this. And there again, we're talking about healing and forgiveness. And in the context of the same verse, see, there was teaching, preaching, healing. Same verse. And there was an eight, you know, Matthew 8. What was that? Matthew 8, 14, 15, 16, 17. 16 and 17 verse. There was cast spirits out with his word and healed them to fulfill Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, 24 we looked at. And here in James it says this, 5th chapter. Now, and I quoted this, but let's look at it with the whites of our eyes. James 5, 14 starts out and it says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray. And he didn't say, if there's any sick among you, just bear it. Did he say that? Just for his glory, just put up with it. Settle for it. I tell you, you need to pursue healing. I don't care what. I don't care, and don't you feel sorry for yourself. Don't you, you poor as me thing. Come on now. There are bad things happen to people, some worse than happened to me. If it's happened to me, it's probably happened to somebody else. It's probably happened worse. Just get up and get over it. We can't play that game. You get sick, you need to get healed. You get sick, you need to pursue healing. Yes. Now, I think of Fran every time I think about this. She didn't give up. She didn't quit when that stroke came. You could have just given up and laid down, felt sorry for yourself. But you said, no, I'm getting healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm going to raise this arm. I'm going to raise that. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do this. And she's little by little, step by step. I'll tell you what, she's been determined that God is on her side, that this is not from God, this problem, but healing is from God, and God wants her healed, and she has seen miracle after miracle after miracle because she would not give up and she would not quit. Are you with me? And that's the way you need to pursue healing or anything in God's word. You have to be focused, you have to be passionate, and you just have to be determined. And if you have down days, get back up again. Are you with me? So it says here, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Whoa. Wait a minute. Healing and forgiveness in the same verse. Y'all see that? I don't think we had a problem with the sin part. We know God will forgive him. But it says here that the Lord will raise him up from his sick bed. From the sickness. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So whatever he did before he said and had nothing to do with sin, that was doing with the sickness. Right? Hey, and it goes on. 16th verse. Confess your faults or sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Wow. So now we're not talking about God. You find some places where God heals. You'll find some places where he forgives. True. But all these verses says in the same verse he does both. In the same context. That he'll do one just like he'll do the other. So if you believe God's a forgiving God, and you're going to turn to these verses about forgiveness, and I would advise you to do so. I think these are great verses to get forgiven. And to get your sins forgiven, to know that God will forgive you. But notice also, you can be healed in these same verses that tell you you can be forgiven. Hallelujah. So quit putting up with that lying devil. Are you with me? And let's get some healing going. Let's get forgiven, let's get healed, and let's go forward. Woo! Well, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah.